Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude God's Rewards Program. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God's Rewards Program.
A campaign of neighborhood visitation done because of compulsion, because somebody made you do it. That's wood. But visiting the same people in love to win them to the Lord, that's gold. Singing a solo in church and being concerned about how the people like our voice is hay. But singing to glorify the Lord is silver. Giving generously out of duty or pressure from men is straw. But giving generously with joy to extend the gospel and to serve others in the Lord's name is a precious stone. That's what we don't beat folks up here. about money. We don't believe, you know, very seldom is there any high pressure thing here. Because you know what my thing is? My thing is, if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. You know, so that's why, you know, I might preach a sermon on giving once a year. And somebody said, well, Pastor, every time I come to church, you preaching about giving. Well, you only come once a year then, right? So, you know, it's your motives. You know, work that on the outside looks like gold to us may be hay in God's eyes. He knows the motives of the heart. Look at that. Look at that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, since we are close by. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise. Wow, that's deep. Man, that is a deep scripture right there. Oh man, Pastor Glaze, he's a great pastor. You know, he does this. He visits the sick and he, you know, spends time studying for the messages. And you know, man, it might be wood, hay, and stubble, right? You know, if you let other people judge, man, these are some gold works, right? Oh man, I'm laying up some gold here. You know, if I was listening to, I get to heaven, man. You know, God, he might have another perspective on things. And sometimes what man thinks is gold, God thinks is hay, is wood, is stubble. Because what is our motive? You know, why do we do the things that we do? And, you know, I struggle with some things, you know, and I'll say this, and probably part of my problem is I confess too much. But, you know, sometimes I get involved with other organizations because the first question that I ask is that how's this going to help Bethany? You know, and sometimes I'm not there because I want to be there. But I ask, you know, if we can connect with Bethany, and I say, okay, Lord, now, is this really a, is this gold, silver, precious stone? You know, we got to take stock of why we do what we do. You know, what's your motive? Why are you involved? Because this is the key. We can do a lot. You know, you can be in 90 ministries. But if your motive is not pure, wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn up. So even now as we go through the message, just think before I even go any further, why do you do what you do? People want to be deacons. They want to be deaconess because they think they can have a little clout and rule over some people. Man, I tell you what, that's all you need is another headache, right? Why do you want to do? I told you before about the lady who asked me could she be a deaconess. This saint has gone home to glory. She asked me could she be a deaconess. And I began to talk to her and found out that the reason she wanted to be a deaconess because she had a white dress and she wanted to sit up front on first Sunday. What's your motive? What's your motive for doing things? So just think what you're involved in right now. What are you involved in right now? Why are you doing it? Is it going to be torched when you get to heaven? You know, when I get to heaven, and again, literal fire, figurative fire, I don't know. So in my sanctified imagination, right? I don't want to see any smoke when I get there. Because if the gold, the silver, and the precious stone is going through, you can breathe clearly. But sad to say, some folk go, you're going to be choking, man. You're going to be choking. Why? Because all your works are going to be torched up. because you didn't have the right motive. So as we think about this, what are some of the things that these rewards will be based on? So now we know that you got to have the right motive. That's first and foremost. So now what does the scripture say? And I'm not going to read these scriptures because many of them you probably already know. What are some of the things that our rewards will be based on? Well, how we treated other saints. You know, it says that you will be rewarded based on how you treated other people. You know, if you were rude and crude and ignorant and ran roughshod over people, you know, chances are that that's going to get torched up. It's going to burn up. We know in Matthew 25 that it definitely talks about how you use your talents, that you have the three T's, the time, talent, and the treasure. And so when you stand before Jesus, he's going to say, what did you do with your time? I gifted you. I gave you abilities. I enabled you to do certain things. Did you use that for me, or did you use it for the world, or did you use it for yourself, or did you not use it at all? Here goes one right here. What'd you do with your treasures? You know, what'd you do with your finances? You know, the Bible says it's God that gives you the ability to gain wealth. He's the one that gives us the ability. Like, well, you know what? God didn't get me up this morning. The alarm clock got me up. Well, let's take that alarm clock over to Homewood Cemetery and let it ring. See how many folk get up. All right. God got you up. God gave you strength. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. If he would withdraw from us, we would not have the ability to do anything at all. And so God is going to judge us when we stand before him based on how we used our talents, how we handled temptation. That if we have given in to temptation, if we have been overcome by the things of the world, then you know we're going to stand before God and give an account of that. How the believer disciplined him or herself in the Christian race. You know, Paul talked about that. He said that we run in the race and that, you know, we need to run with discipline. And so, you know, we need to discipline ourselves to get up and spend time with the Lord. We need to discipline ourselves to live the life that God has called us to live, because we're going to stand before the Lord one day and we're going to give an account of this life that we have. And then how the believer endured persecution. These are just some of the things that the scripture definitely says that we will give an account for. So you can look up there and begin to examine your own life. And realize that if you are not exercising discipline in your life, and you know, if you just give in to every will and fancy that the flesh rises up and calls for, man, you're shortchanging yourself. You are robbing yourself. And I don't know about you, but when I get the glory, I want all that God has to give to me. What are some of the rewards that we will receive in heaven? Now, you know, again, I'll say this, that these are controversial. Some people will say, well, it's really not speaking about a crown. It's talking about something else. And, you know, I'm going to let you be the judge of that, okay? But most theologians, again, I'm saying up front, this is very controversial, so I'm letting you know that. But most theologians would agree that the Bible speaks of five crowns. Okay, there's the crown of victory, as I already talked about, the one who disciplines themselves. There's the crown of life, which is the one who endures trials and temptations. There is the crown of righteousness, and this is for that one, going back to the message we preached a couple of weeks ago, for that one who loves to be with the Lord, who longs for the Lord's appearing. There's a crown of rejoicing, and this is the soul winner's crown. You know, this is for people that we lead to the Lord. That Paul said to the Thessalonians, you are my crown. He said, and I'm going to be rewarded when Jesus comes back because you are my crown. And so there's a crown for people who win souls and lead others to Christ. And then there is the crown of glory. And this is for that one who has been the faithful pastor or leader. And so, you know, it's just not for pastors, but it's for anybody that shepherds a group of people, anybody that's over a flock of people, that God will judge you. And based on how you shepherded that group of people, you know, you will be rewarded or not rewarded for that. And so these are some of the crowns that it talks about we will receive when we get to heaven. So how can you use your rewards? How can you use your rewards? Well, again, it's argued whether these are literal crowns or not. I'm just going to go by what Revelation 4, 10 and 11 says, that the 24 elders, that they fell down before him that sat on the throne. And they worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so we see here that these elders had crowns, and what they did was took these crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus. Now, again, I don't have all that worked out, but I'm sure that what we did here on earth is going to follow us throughout eternity. And, you know, when you think about the crown, you know, notice, it's not for pride. It's not for you to walk around, you know, like Miss America and give the wave, you know, like you somebody. You know, it's not for pride, it's for humility. It's not to show off, but it's to worship. And so we will take these crowns and we will worship. Yeah, I was listening to somebody teaching on the believer's rewards, and they were talking about, well, you know what? If this person over here has more rewards than me, won't there be jealousy in heaven? No. Number one, there's not going to be any sin in heaven. No sin in heaven. And so jealousy is not going to be there. Now, I liken it like this. Let me give this illustration. Last year, my son graduated from officer training school. He had 160 people in his class. They gave three awards. They gave one award to the most fit. They gave one award for leadership, and they gave one award for survival or something. Out of 160-some people, he got number one in the first two. And the third one, he came in number two. And I stood down there as he walked across there to get those awards, and I started crying, man. I mean, I was like, wow, I can't believe this, man. I was fighting the tears, you know. I didn't want him to see me cry, you know. I just said, man, that's my son, man. That's my son. Man, I'm so proud of it. And so would I have liked the God award to come in number one? Yes, I would have. Would I have liked the God award for being a leader? Yes, I would have. But I didn't. But I was happy for him. I was excited for him. And when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any jealousy because you got more rewards than I got, and you know, you got a bigger crown than, you know, it's going to be just rejoicing and joy, and you know, we're going to be excited about what we were able to do for the Lord, and not going to be any tension or any foolishness in heaven. So, you know, see, man, we got these carnal minds, right? And we always think carnal. You know, well, you know what? They got a bigger one than me. You know, let me see how, when they go to sleep, how I can sneak into their house and steal their crown, and you know, then I'll have it, then I can lay low for a little while, you know, then I'll bring it back out 1,000 years from now, and nobody will ever know. See, man, that's stinking thinking, right? That's cardinal thinking. That kind of thinking is not going to be in heaven. You know, we're going to be excited about the fact that, you know, we're able to, you know, look at what we have done and see how we have served the Lord. If you go to the next slide, how long will these rewards last? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24 that it's incorruptible, that this inheritance will be incorruptible. You know, the people in that game that I told you about earlier, that whenever they won, you know what they gave them? They gave them a laurel wreath, and they put that laurel wreath over their head. And you know what would happen in a couple weeks? It would wilt up and crumble away. Paul said they do it for a corruptible crown. They do it for a crown that's going to crumble up. He said, we do it for an incorruptible. Peter said, we have a reward that's undefiled. Look at this. And that fadeth not away. Fadeth not away. Man, we labor down here for things, and you can't take these things with you. You know, you labor, you lay up treasures, as Jesus said, where rust and moth can eat away. And when you go to heaven, you go there empty-handed. Man, let's labor for things that will last for eternity. You know, I mean, we all are into different things, and we're all doing different things. But we can all serve the Lord in our own way. When we know that God has called us to do something, we can lock on what God has told us to do, and we can be about the business of serving Him. And then keep in mind, we want to serve Him with the right motive. And then I kind of put together some concluding thoughts as we look at going for the gold. Go for the gold. Saints, go for the gold. We should live to please God. Whether we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be acceptable of Him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it's good or bad. You know, we please Him. What did Paul say? That we may be accepted of Him. Is your desire to please God? Are you laboring to please God? We should live in the fear of God. 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father who is without respect of person, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That if you love God and you know that He's going to judge you one day, live your time out in fear. That don't mean scared or, as we say on Tioga Street, scarred. But it means it's reverential fear. You know, to walk with Him with reverence and respect as you live your life out here on this earth. Go ahead. We should live in such a way that at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have no regrets. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, and not that word ashamed. You know what it means in the Greek? Shrink back. That we would not shrink back before His coming. Live in such a way that you'll have, you know, heaven is going to be great. And, you know, I believe that after the judgment seat of Christ, that probably all, you know, we won't think about, you know, all this stuff as far as, you know, any kind of regrets or anything we had after the judgment seat. You know, all the regrets and everything, I think God, you know, it says that He's going to dry away all tears, you know, from our eyes. Isaiah talked about the fact that the harmful things that we'll remember no more. So I just believe at this time, when we stand at the judgment seat, that we're going to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have did this or I wish I'd have did that. But after that, you know, God is going to wipe it away and we'll just zip throughout eternity. And then we should live. I don't know about you. We should live to hear, well done. That when you stand before the judgment seat, don't you want to hear well done? Wouldn't you hate to live your whole life and thinking that you were doing things for the Lord and you were really doing them for yourself and you stood before the Lord and He said, hey, you could have did better. Man, that's scary. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's one thing for a human being to tell you that you could have did better. It's one thing for a human being to say that because, you know, oh, they don't know what they're talking about anyways, right? Yeah, they don't know. They don't see what I do, right? They don't know what they don't know the long hours that I stay up. They don't know what I'm doing with nobody else. So, I'm not worried. But it's another thing when God says, because you know that He said, what did Paul say? Don't judge anything before the time. Don't give anybody praise before the time. Because when God comes, He's going to judge all things. And then He's going to tell you what the real deal is. He's going to tell you what the truth is. So we should live to hear well done from the Lord. And as I close, I ask this question. Are you enrolled? Are you enrolled in God's benefits program? And there's only one way to get enrolled. And that is through Jesus Christ, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. And if He is not your Lord and Savior, like I said, you're not even enrolled in the program.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God's Rewards Program, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Rewards Program. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Rewards Program. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.